We have a small intimate group this morning. Right. Y'all ready? Yes? Okay. Right. So what you'll find out this morning is how the Holy Spirit really works. How many of you really believe that was an anointed music set? It was really anointed. And Michael, you didn't know what I was going to be teaching on this morning, and two of those songs fit perfectly. So I asked Michael to cue up one of them at the end, and I think you'll see. It's just really reassuring when you bring a word to have God confirm that that's what you're supposed to be bringing. So the title of the word this morning is Trusting God Through Trials and Not Trusting Our Feelings. Because we have a tendency as human beings to want to trust our feelings. But God has told us very specifically we are not to do that. So the verse I want to start with this morning is James 1, verse 2. I'll give you a minute to turn to that. James 1, verse 2. This is a verse that's probably very familiar to everybody. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. Count it joy when you encounter trials? That seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? Shouldn't we hate trials? We've been told to count it as joy. And if you don't have that marked in your Bible, you might want to mark that and meditate on that verse a little bit. So those of you that really know me know that my life saying is, Lord, I don't want to miss anything that you have for me. And you think about that. When you tell the Lord, I don't want to miss anything that you have for me, that includes good things and hard things. Because you know that God's there, like we sang about, from the beginning to the end. He knows us. And whatever happens under his care is going to be for our benefit. I have to be willing to hear God and step outside my comfort zone sometimes to do what he says. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense, and sometimes it's even scary. God, you want me to do what? I also need to trust God's word and not my feelings and emotions. So some of you might remember that a few years ago, Steve and I went on a trip to South Africa. And what happened is, this was a total surprise to me. Steve came home from one of his Rotary meetings and said that he had been on a trip to South Africa to help support one of the charities that Rotary was supporting at the time. And he said, we're going to go to South Africa. Well, that wasn't on my bucket list. I hadn't planned to go. But he said that we would be going on a photo safari. So I went ahead planning the trip, and even though I usually booked flights myself, because I've done a lot of traveling in my life, I decided to use a travel agent since we were going so far. That was a mistake, let me tell you. Sometimes it's better to do it yourself. When we got the itinerary, it had four connections. And one thing I've learned over the years is you want as few connections as possible. Like Barbara and her family right now are out in Arizona. And so they had to be at the Jacksonville Airport at 5:30 a.m. in order to get a direct flight out to where they were going. But it was worth it to know there weren't going to be delays. And there ended up being a delay, but fortunately it didn't make them miss a connection. But in the days leading up to the trip, I found myself increasingly uneasy about going, and I couldn't put my finger on what that was. We went to the health department. You had to get medications. We had to get shots. And there I heard again about potential health risks that we would be encountering. Again, I asked myself, why am I doing this? Oh. That led me to consider a lesson that I'd learned previously. I even brought a word on to this fellowship years ago regarding believing God's word and not feeling, being in the feeling realm, because who can attack us when we're in the feeling realm? Satan. And he loves to do that. He wants us to be in that feeling realm where he can get to us. Believing Satan's lie and not trusting God is what Adam and Eve did, right? They had everything. They were in the Garden of Eden. They had nothing to worry about. They didn't have to work. But They believed Satan's lie. Exodus 14:14. Go ahead and turn to that too. Exodus 14:14. I find this verse to be very comforting. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. So that means if you're in the middle of something, should you be anxious and panicky and worrying? No, you're supposed to be still and know that. Can you think of anybody better to fight for you than the Lord? Then not too far from that verse, some of you are just getting there. I'll give you just a minute. Not too far from that verse in Deuteronomy 31:8. There's a very similar theme there. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Read that one more time. The Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you. Even if you feel like he has, he hasn't, right? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. And then one more verse, Joshua 1:9. I love the book of Joshua. We named our oldest son Joshua. Joshua 1:9. Our son-in-law is named Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do you hear that theme again from those songs we sang earlier? From beginning to end, he's going to be with us regardless of where we go, whatever we're dealing with. So back to the trip. One afternoon before we left from the trip, I was with Emma, one of my granddaughters, in Walmart. We were shopping. And right outside Walmart, there was a little booth set up. People were selling crosses. Some of you may have seen those. I don't know. I looked at the table, but I didn't stop or I didn't buy one of them. But then as we were in the store, this woman I didn't know, this young woman, came from nowhere carrying one of those crosses. And she said, "The Lord told me to give this to you." And she just gave it to me. And the cross said, "The Lord is with you always." She didn't know about my anxiety about going on this trip. She didn't know how I felt about it. That was God confirming again that he was going to be with us, that everything was going to be okay. The day came for us to leave for Africa. We arrived in the Orlando airport with plenty of time to spare. We learned to do that. We were scheduled to leave from there to Philadelphia, from Philadelphia to London, from London to Johannesburg, and then a prop plane to Richards Bay. Those are those four connections I was telling you about. Then we were to get land transportation to take us to where we were staying. Some of our connections were pretty close, so all the time I was a little concerned, but I had all the information handy in case I had to call or tell land transportation or the place we were staying that we were delayed. We settled in at the airport to wait for our flight. We went to the terminal where we were supposed to board, only to find the location had changed to another terminal. This is when you make sure you wear good running shoes, right? We made our way there quickly, only to find that the flight was delayed due to weather. Finally, close to the departure time, the flight was canceled. I could feel my anxiety level starting to rise as we booked the next flight to Philadelphia. That meant we'd have, again, to run to make our connection. Then we found that flight was also canceled. Anybody else ever experienced this? I have to admit, I was feeling about we had missed God. And Steve turned to me and says, "You know, maybe we just need to just go home. Let's just forget this whole thing." But we ended up finding this really nice agent. And you imagine being one of those agents having to rebook all these flights, what they have to go through. But she was very patient. She was very kind. And she said, "You know, we can get you to Charleston, North Carolina, and then you can get to London." And she did that, and we made it. And we made it the rest of the way, too. Then we were put into a group with another couple and two sets of sisters. And the sisters looked like they were in their 50s or 60s, maybe. And each day we traveled with them, we got up at 6:30 in the morning, so you could see the sun rise over the savanna there. And you could see the animals as they were just, you know, coming from the night. And then we, each day we would go out again at 3 o'clock, and then we'd have all our meals with this couple and these two sisters. And we knew it was a mission field. As we started talking, both of these sisters had been raised in a church and had gotten totally disillusioned with church and didn't want anything to do with it. They had turned their backs on God, and they were very clear they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want anything to do with it. Then God provided an opportunity that only He could do. We went out to a very large preserve to see lions. We rode in a Jeep with three sets of seats and no roof. We decided to ride in the back where we could get better pictures. But we were not prepared for how bouncy it was. It was very, very bouncy. We saw several lions and got back to the starting point. And then we found out that Steve's wallet was missing. It had been in his back pant pocket. Some of you remember this story probably. That was very upsetting since it contained most of our cash and all the credit cards and his ID. The guide searched the Jeep, but the wallet was not there. We went back to the resort, and at dinner that night, we told the group about what had happened. Steve had a very supernatural peace about the whole thing. I was more upset about him losing his wallet than he was. But we let the people know we trusted God with the situation. I think Steve was the one that initiated that. We're just going to trust God that He's got this. We figured it was somewhere on that huge preserve. For the next 2 days, everyone was asking about the wallet, and it was still missing. The guide said they would continue to look for it. Then we received a word of a miracle. The night guard had found the wallet somewhere in the preserve, and they brought it to us, completely intact, nothing missing, during dinner in front of those two sisters who got to witness a miracle, an absolute miracle. A living example of the Lord's care and compassion. The other thing that was interesting about this was right after COVID, and this resort and everything, people depended on that for their livelihood. And so they had been out of work for 2 years and could have stolen his money easily. Every cent of his money was returned to us. I was reminded again of God's promises and how we must trust Him and not our feelings. All right, another scripture to turn to. 1 Corinthians 2:9. And this is what I'm trying to do in Sunday school too, is have the students turn to the scriptures and look to them. It's real important. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Who would have dreamed that God had prepared that whole thing, that trip, that wallet, and everything for the reason He had? His loving compassion for those two sisters, right? His love demonstrated toward us. Another scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. We've been studying Timothy and Thessalonians and Titus and going on to Philemon coming up. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline, or a sound mind. He's not given us a spirit of fear. So if we're experiencing fear, where's it coming from? The enemy again. The enemy's attacking our emotions. Then turn to Isaiah 40:13. Isaiah 40:13. I'm reading through the Bible. I started back in January, so I'm reading through the Bible, and I'm in Isaiah right now. And it's really interesting to compare that, getting ready to compare that to Jeremiah and some of the other prophets. But Isaiah was a very profound, substantial prophet. He definitely had a word from God. Isaiah 40:13. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. He takes your right hand and says, do not fear. If he takes your right hand, most of us are right-handed, right? You're giving up your own will. If you take your right hand and get his hand, right? Your right hand? Isaiah 54:10. This is the last scripture I'm going to have you turn to. Isaiah 54:10. Isaiah 54:10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion for you. So as we made our way home from South Africa, we had more flight delays and unexpected changes. I found it was much easier to take James's word to heart. Count it all joy. I thought about other instances of my life where on the surface it was very hard to count it joy. You have a commandment to count it joy, regardless of what you're going through. One thing that happened early in our marriage is that Steve had several accounts, big accounts that owed him money. One of them was $30,000. The man reneged on it, never paid it. Another one was about that much. And it looked like we, as a family, were going to have to file bankruptcy. I mean, we were down to, our oldest son, Josh, remembers us going to the grocery store and being in line and getting halfway through the checkout and having to go put things back because we couldn't pay for them. And how embarrassed he was by that. He still remembers that. But God used that in our lives. He brought us through that. He prospered us. And now I can have empathy for people that are struggling financially. I would never have been able to do that otherwise. Another example of a trial, at the time I didn't count it joy, still very hard. Some of you know that my brother, my only sibling, took his own life. And that was quite a shock, and that was very hard. But the Lord told me to count it joy. Why? I saw later, as I was teaching at the university, I ended up having to give the lecture on suicide to nurses. So nurses could deal with people who had either lost someone to suicide or somebody who was considering suicide. I had a personal experience I was able to share. I can't tell you how many nursing students came to my office to talk to me about their own experiences. Their friend who was thinking about suicide, their relative who was thinking about it, one girl thinking about it herself. I was able to get her help counseling on campus. I would never have had that opportunity had I not gone through that with my brother. And then caring for my mother in the last few months of her life, it was very, very difficult. I was used to my mother being very strong. Now here I was taking care of her. It was very, very hard. Elmer was very faithful. He came over and prayed with us. I'm very grateful for that. But I'm looking around this room. Everybody in here who's lost somebody close to you. I mean, you've lost somebody. Right. But God can use that. Count it as joy. It's not try to count it as joy. Say, Lord, help me count this as joy. There's a reason for this. There's a reason I went through this. You have a greater purpose. Everyone experiences trials. James means for believers to respond to troubles, regardless of the side, by counting it joy. As usual, the context is key to understanding this scripture. Verses 3 and 4 of that scripture of James, 1 James, provide information about what James means. Knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. His purpose is to build us up. I told you on our trip to South Africa how distressing it was for me going over there with all those flights. We had some of the same delays coming home, but I had a peace I didn't have going over. God had built some endurance in me already. Also, we must notice that James does not say to be happy. If you've lost somebody close to you, to be happy. No, we're not supposed to be happy. But we count it joy knowing that in the long term, God's going to use that for our good. He calls us to be joyful. The word count is used in some translations instead of consider. It relates to organizing or collecting things. James is implying that we should enter our hardships as deposits into the checkbook of our life, not withdrawals. All right, picture that for a minute. This is something hard you're dealing with. It's going into your checkbook of life. Your account is bigger. You've got more money in there now. So when the next thing comes, you withdraw, you've got more, and then you deal with that and overcome that. You've got more money in your account. It's still a hard command, and yet it acknowledges something important that we don't always admit. We can decide how we will describe any moment to ourselves. We may not be able to control the circumstances, but we can control how we think about them, right? You may not be able to control them. You may pray, God, take this thing away, and he doesn't. But you can control how you think about it, how you react to it. You can say, this is terrible. This is a bad day. My life is going wrong. Why did this happen to me? Or you can say to yourself, this is a bad thing, but I will get through it. I will learn and I will be stronger with the Lord's help. I will call the growth and strength worth rejoicing over, even while it hurts. I'm going through this thing. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to be stronger. God's using it. So in summary, how important is it for Christians to trust God? It's so important, James writes, that we should call our worst moments joyful things because trials help us to trust God more. People who trust God ask him for wisdom and then take what he gives. People who trust God make a bigger deal about their rewards in the next life than their wealth in this one. You know, I remember Francis Chan. I've used this example before, but he has this great example of a rope. And this is our life. And there's a little tiny end that's painted. All the rest of it has nothing on it. He said, this is our life on earth that we focus so much on and we get so concerned about. Yet this is the whole rope. This is a little tiny piece. Remember, it's not as important as what God has for us. Paul also addressed it. Romans 5, 3 to 4. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God is poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. We were given the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to walk with us. Think about Paul's life. I've so enjoyed the Bible studies, getting to really know Paul and to appreciate all that he walked through. And how faithful he was, and encouraging, even though he was stoned and left for dead and put in prison in a little tiny place. Philippians 1:6. I love this scripture. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He's going to complete it. That goes for having joy in all things. Yes, the Lord. Lord, help me have joy in everything. Help me to see it the way you see it. So I would encourage all of us to reflect on our lives and recognize that everything works together for the good. And ask the Lord to help you focus on his truth and not your feelings. And identify when feelings are getting in the way. Again, because that's when the enemy can get in. Father, we thank you for your word speaking to our hearts. Lord, remind us of this. We can count it all joy, Father. We can trust you to do and accomplish what you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Michael's going to play a song I asked him to play. You guys will see how this fit perfectly.
Though the tears may fall, my song will rise, my song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. Though the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. faith arise to you. When I cannot feel your hand in mine, let faith arise to you. God of mercy and love, I will praise you, Lord. Now you shine with glory, Lord, is light. I feel alive with you. In your presence now I come alive, I am alive with you. There is strength when I say, I will praise you, Lord. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Sorrow comes my way, you are the shield around me, always in your name, my courage in the fight. I hear you call my name, Jesus, I am coming, walking on the waves, reaching for your light. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Thank you.